It is Thursday. Good morning. The 26th day of August. My word, just a little more than a week, we will be into September and fall coming on quickly. This is the Morning Liberty Program. Thanks for tuning in. I'm R.J. John DiNardo. Will be joining us shortly. We'll be talking about Planet X, the Gulf area, and other details that are affecting us and our world. Now we have John DiNardo. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, R.J. Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks for spending the time with us. I know you are working like with a frenzy, getting out there and doing your best to warn people about things that are happening, things that many of us, we don't even recognize. We, you know, Mother Nature is blowing up all over the place, and it's like we're wondering, we're scratching our heads thinking, how did that happen? Why did that happen? What is happening? Should we begin in the Gulf area with our discussion? I've seen several reports about Corexit. I thought that the oil spill was over, and yet Corexit continues to be sprayed there in the Gulf area. John, take it away.
Well, they continue to lie to us to try to make us believe that the Gulf spill is over, but it just seems to continue. I had this information that I had acquired about 3 to 4 years ago from a friend who lives in northern New Jersey with me. He has an acquaintance that he knows, an acquaintance who is a geologist with the U.S. Geological Survey, and he told me this 3 to 4 years ago, long before anyone even suspected that there would ever be a Gulf oil spill. He told me that his geologist friend said they're surveying for wonderful oil opportunities, oil drilling opportunities in the Gulf of Mexico. And the second thing really shocked me that he told me, and that was that they expect land masses to arise out of the Gulf of Mexico. So when I first heard about this oil spill back in April, I realized that there was probably a connection and that this oil spill was probably not done by BP, and it was in fact probably not done by man in any way, but it was probably a natural disaster that will continue to get worse as time goes by. Throughout the world, we'll probably see more of these upheavals in the seabeds and oceans around the world.
Well, as a natural disaster, I'm thinking there are spills that are still going on with thousands of previous wells supposedly leaking into the Gulf. In fact, a couple of regular continuing spills going on now, other than just what we now know as the deep water horizon well.
Well, that's very important that we're beginning to see these oil plumes coming up from the Gulf of Mexico, because now this is allowing the public to begin to see the truth, and the mask of deceit is being removed from their eyes. Keith Olbermann, the noted commentator on MSNBC, you can see one of his news clips, one of his commentaries on YouTube, in which he said that the Corexit was not designed to disperse the oil, but to provide a mask to cover the surface of the Gulf of Mexico.
I saw that, and I'm wondering, he is one of their commentators. I'm thinking he stands up on a regular basis. I don't know if he's a member of the CFR. I don't know if he's a Jesuit priest. But I see that he's an apologist for the far left, for the satanic cabal. And most of the time, I think his take is just completely wrong. But boy, did he make a stand on Corexit. And I'm thinking, they allowed him to make those kind of comments about Corexit? I'm thinking, good for him. I thought maybe he would lose his job by doing so.
You know, that is shocking, isn't it? Even Glenn Beck makes some tells a few bits of truth once in a while. So it is shocking to hear these people who are spokesmen for the power elite and who draw their paychecks from the power elite, to hear them come out with some disturbing, incriminating truths against these men of power whom they work for. Why they do it, I don't know, but it sure is refreshing to hear it. So they put the Corexit down to blanket the ocean, so that Gulf of Mexico, so that people could not see the oil. First of all, it would depress the oil so that it was not quite as conspicuous on the surface, but also it masks the seabed of the Gulf of Mexico so that people cannot see all the cracks and fissures and bulges that are coming up from the seabed. I had done some, as a result of this oil spill and the great furor that arose from it, I started reading some geology books, and I found that the mantle plume is a phenomenon that exists in around the world, although the existence of these mantle plumes has been relatively subdued. They're not as hot as they could be, and therefore they have not caused the geological disturbances in the crust of the Earth that we're over past years and past decades. In fact, we have not seen that much disturbance from mantle plumes in the past century. However, in the last several years, we've been seeing greater and greater heating and pressures from these mantle plumes, which come up from which are generated by the molten iron core. As the molten iron core of the Earth gets hot, what it does is burrows tunnels straight up through the mantle. The mantle surrounds the core. The molten iron core is surrounded by many, many miles of what's called mantle, which is simply molten rock, very thick, thicker than molasses, almost like jello. Now, as long as that molten rock does not become heated up and liquefied, the crust of the Earth surrounding that mantle, the outer crust, that's called the lithosphere, remains fairly well intact. But now we're seeing a heating up of the molten iron core of the Earth, and as a result, this molten core is acting like the electric light bulb in a lava lamp. When you turn on a lava lamp, what it does, there's a puddle of lava sitting at the base of the lamp. The heat causes the lava to rise upward till it gets to the top in a column or a plume. Well, this is precisely what's happening with these mantle plumes, and I believe that there is a mantle plume arising in the base up to the bottom of the seabed of the Gulf of Mexico due to the heating of the molten iron core of our Earth. So the next question is, why is Earth's molten iron core heating up? Well, I'm sure that we can attribute it to Planet X and the electromagnetic field that it generates. This planet is saturated in plasma. Plasma is electrified gases that all incoming comets and celestial bodies will pick up as they enter from deep space into our solar system. They penetrate the heliosphere, which is a large, huge sphere-like structure. Not really a structure, it's a huge sphere comprised of plasma, electrified gases that were blown out by the sun over a period of time, because the sun is an electrical generator. Solar winds continue to travel out and they build up until you have this huge plasma sphere surrounding the outer bounds of our solar system. So when these comets come in, they pick up this plasma, they become saturated with the plasma, and as a result, now they are massive, colossal charges, electric charges in motion. And any electric charge in motion, if you study any college physics textbook, you will see that charges in motion produce electromagnetic fields surrounding the path of that charge in motion. Sort of like a jetliner. A jetliner might be considered analogous to a moving charge in the air. And when the chemtrail comes out from that airplane, it billows out. The chemtrails billow out in a large expanding cloud. And that's very similar to what happens with these invisible electromagnetic fields that are generated by this charge-saturated celestial body moving through space. Now, these magnetic fields cut through our Earth invisibly, but yet they cut through just like a microwave oven. The microwaves inside your microwave oven are invisible. However, that electromagnetic energy that is generated inside the oven, those electromagnetic force field lines cut through the food and heat up the water inside the food. Well, that's very similar to what is happening right now to planet Earth. The Earth's core is heating up. So now we've got these mantle plumes that are rising upward in various sectors of the world, not just under the Gulf of Mexico, but in other seabeds, for example, in the Coral Sea on the other side of the Earth. We have the same kind of phenomenon. We see where there we have found that there are depth changes as detected by ocean buoys, depth changes in the Coral Sea that are striking and very anomalous. So these mantle plumes are pushing up and causing bursting of the seabeds around the world.
Well, it's amazing the impact that this is having in the Gulf area, around as well as other places around the world. And it's like many of us, we see the warming up of the Earth, but we have no idea where to nail it to. What's at fault? What caused this thing? It's interesting, this conversation. John, we'll be back right after the break. It's 23 minutes after. This is the Morning Liberty Program. Thanks for tuning in. I'm RJ, my guest this morning, John DiNardo. John, I remember a while back you mentioned an example of if I were to reach out and pull your elbow, you could feel me pull your elbow. I would have an impact, and in such a way that the sun is doing that as well as Planet X. Planet X is doing that to our sun and to the Earth, and having a gravitational pull effect and causing other events that are happening around the world. We see Pakistan, for example, about 4 million people now in Pakistan who have no home. The flooding that's going on there. There's all kinds of things around the world that are being affected by this elbow tug from Planet X.
Yes, I have been collecting evidence since 2004 by diligently videotaping severe weather reports daily from the Weather Channel. And I have like about 250 hours all on 6-hour videotapes of severe weather reports from the Weather Channel. And if anyone were to take the time, I tried to do it, but it's just too much information, too voluminous.
Yeah.
But if someone were to take that time and plot all the data, they would see their absolute truth that the Earth is undergoing tremendous trauma, unprecedented in our recorded history. And something has to be the cause of it. This is not normal. It has to be coming from outer space, from outside of our planet, not within the planet. For example, the Earth's core does not heat up by itself. Normally, the Earth's core, the molten iron in the core, remains at a constant, relatively constant temperature. Well, it is cooling, actually. It's cooling over many, many years, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years. So that would sort of negate the concept that the Earth's core could be normally heating up, when we know that it's been cooling down ever so gradually. So what would cause it to heat up? Well, anything from the outside would have to do it. The sun is not doing it. The sun has not been hot enough to do it, although the sun has been contributing to it. Well, as I said, you know, if you have just the microwave oven is probably your best analogy. And we have evidence that there's electricity, there's an electrical source for this microwave oven in the sky. And that we can show the evidence for it. For example, there's so much to be said in terms of proof of this existence of this celestial body. But I think I'll start right where the most solid, credible evidence lies, and that is with the federal government of the United States. Back in 1983, the federal government of the United States, through its major branch, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, gave the following information officially to the New York Times, the largest newspaper in the United States. I had the article. I went to my library and photocopied the actual article so that no disinformation agents could try to discredit it. And here's the article. I'm holding it right here. New York Times, Sunday, January 30th, 1983, title, Clues Get Warm in the Search for Planet X. This is NASA speaking, telling us that, hey, there's a Planet X out there. So I didn't make up the name. The United States government used the name officially, and that name, incidentally, has been attributed to this huge, unseen but felt, gravitationally felt body for over 100 years. Back in 1930, when the famous astronomer Percival Lowell erected the Lowell Observatory in Arizona, precisely and dedicated to the search for what he called Planet X. And all astronomers throughout the world since the early 1800s, have been searching for this planet.
For 100
British,
years.
German, over 100 years. In fact, do you know that when the United States was founded and George Washington was the president of the United States, the planet Uranus was discovered. And while George Washington was the president of the United States, astronomers in England, Germany, France, the United States were all noticing perturbations, as you mentioned, what's called in astronomy, perturbations or pluckings of the outer planet Uranus. Every time Uranus reached a particular point in its orbital course around the sun, sort of like a runner on a track, every time the runner on the outer, one of the outer tracks reaches a particular point in the track, one of the bystanders grabs him by the elbow and pulls him off the track momentarily, then it gets back on again. That's called a perturbation in astronomy. So they knew that there was something out there. You know, if you see a shadow of a man coming up behind you, you don't have to see the man to know that there's a man there. Likewise, if you see the gravitational shadow, gravitational pull on these huge planets, and Uranus is a gas giant, you know automatically that there's got to be some gravitational pull, because that's the only force that can act upon a celestial body, in addition to electrical forces. But they were not aware of those electrical forces and those times. However, the gravitational force is by far the greatest.
Major impact, electrical impact, gravitational impact, right now apparently having impact on glaciers around the Earth, this warming activity, and below the surface, like a mile down, right, in the Gulf area, having an impact on the ocean floor, just all kinds of impacts on the Earth right now.
Like sinkholes and water main breaks, too.
Wow. Okay, John, we'll continue right after this. This is the Morning Liberty Program at RBN. Thanks for tuning in. With us this morning is John DiNardo. John, appreciate you taking the time. The impact from this Planet X there's not just one. There's so many impacts right now. And I see, you know, I've been wondering why supposedly the Taliban is hiding in Pakistan, and now Pakistan, these monsoon floods over there are just wiping out communities, sending people packing. It's just having a huge impact over in Pakistan, right? But that's over in Pakistan. You said it had an impact on a water main break or something?
Right. There was a huge water main break yesterday right here in my area of northern New Jersey. And it's associated with six other breaks all in that same region. And it appears to me that these sinkholes that we've been seeing popping up, you know, with unusual frequency around the country over the past year or so, are now becoming more prolific. And as a result of a sinkhole, it's easy to understand that water mains would lose their structural ground support and begin to collapse and break. Now, six water main breaks is a lot for towns surrounding one area. It seems obvious that we have major ground breakup in that entire area of northern New Jersey around Clifton. And they showed quick films. They don't give you very much information, even on the New Jersey TV network that I was watching this morning to try to catch that report. But it showed whole streets flooded. I mean, massive flooding. And they're claiming it's from these water main breaks. Well, I just find it hard to believe that all that water is there. And so it's evident that we're getting major ground structural fragmentation, fracturing right now. We're seeing sinkholes, major sinkholes. There was one in Guatemala City recently. I have the photograph. It looks about the size, right in the center of a main intersection, about the size of an office building. A huge sinkhole, and you can't even see the bottom of it. Sinkholes in throughout the country. There's another one in China. I saw it, the fracturing and breaking of the ground structure, highways. Train derailments seem to be increasing, again, for the same reason, because the ground structure is becoming loose. It's collapsing. When you visualize what happens to the Earth, now magma is, as I said before, magma is like the gelatin, that's gelatinous structure layer that surrounds the Earth right below the crust. It's above the core. The molten iron core is deeper within, inside, below the magma. But the magma itself, the mantle, is called a mantle. It's molten rock. That is beginning to suffer penetration of these mantle plumes, which are essentially, again, heated up columns of magma where the iron, molten iron core gets so hot it begins to boil up these columns, and the column rises up toward the surface of the Earth through the very, very deep mantle, hundreds of miles deep, thousands of miles deep. I forget the distance, but it's at least, you know, 500-600 miles, the thickness of the mantle. And these columns of molten magma now start to melt. It's like taking chocolate. If you were to take a soldering iron, heat it up, and put it, take a big hunk, a big solid piece of chocolate, and then burrow, just force that soldering iron up through the bottom of the chocolate, you would be melting a tunnel through the chocolate. Well, that's what's happening to the magma. So when this molten tunnel column reaches the crust of the Earth, the crust is relatively hard, but it's very thin. And also, it begins to melt, so the lithospheric crust under the seabed of the oceans and also the crust on land areas becomes melted. And as a result, these magma plumes start to come up, and that's why we see oil puncturing, pushing upward from the seabed of the Gulf of Mexico, and that's why the power elite were so desperate to conceal, from the very beginning, conceal that that oil spill. You remember, they put the Corexit down immediately. And as Keith Olbermann said, because he was reporting what a scientist was testifying to Congress, that's where he got his source information from. He was saying that Corexit had nothing to do with dispersing the oil, but it had everything to do with forcing the oil downward so you couldn't see it and providing a mask over the whole seabed. So we know that landmass is going to arise out of the Gulf of Mexico.
All this advertising we see from BP right now, we're going to clean up the oil, we'll take care of the oil, we'll clean it up, we're not leaving it until it's cleaned up. They're really talking about their promise to continue using Corexit.
Yeah, I mean, that's an insult to the people, and it's an atrocity because it's going to kill many, many. It's going to be worse than the Holocaust because what they're doing is putting this Corexit in the ocean. It is now getting into the Atlantic Ocean. It is probably a doctor. There's a Dr. Zangari in Italy who has been told us that the Gulf Stream has stopped. And that's the conveyor of warm water, warm saline water through the Atlantic down into the Gulf of Mexico.
It's no longer just the Gulf Stream. It is now the Gulf Oil Stream.
Yeah, it's so tragic. Now that is destroying changing the climate of Europe, but worse yet, all that water, the toxic water, is killing the sea life. So if you eat fish, in fact, I should say don't eat fish because you're eating poison. It's going to get that to that point where there'll be no fish for anyone to eat throughout the world.
Just yesterday, I saw a report on the, believe it's the Mississippi River, how at the mouth of that river, that they've been finding just all kinds of dead fish coming from the Gulf area, stingrays and trout and crabs and just all kinds of fish just floating on the surface of the water in the mouth of that river. Just amazing.
Right.
And I've heard that there are boats, in fact, from hired by BP to go through and pick up those fish so people don't see them. They don't want people to see that stuff. That can get scary. And of course, on the beaches there in the Gulf, you don't want to see people with masks and, you know, with plastic clothing surrounding them out there scaring people. You know, you want people to come to the beaches and spend your money. Hop into the ocean and swim around for a while. If you die in 2 years because you've got Corexit into your system, well, that's okay. They don't want the panic. The panic, from what I understand, could cause financial panic right now across America. It's like, oh my word, we are so close to the edge right here, losing it. It's like people losing their homes, people losing their jobs, now losing the Gulf of Mexico.
Right, when you mentioned the word panic, the panic certainly is a major, that's their major fear, and you've really hit the bullseye with that statement, because they will do anything to avoid panicking the public. And they have been covering up this Planet X issue ever since they first realized back in 1983 when they discovered Planet X. They actually discovered it and published it in the second largest newspaper in the United States, and that is the Washington Post. But then once they published it, I have the article, incidentally, too. I photocopied both the New York Times article and the Washington Post article. Once it was published, all the secretive power elite members who control the National Security Agency, which is a top spy agency that governs all the other spy agencies, they told NASA to be quiet. So all these sincere scientists at NASA who were really anxious to reveal to the world this great discovery, which was a great achievement for any astronomer, they were told to be quiet because at that time they made the secretive leaders made a mistake in allowing this information to get out. But now they allowed it out, and we've got it, and we've got to use it to prove that these people have been covering up the fact that many millions of people are going to die unless they are given warning and told how they can prepare now to protect themselves.
See, I wonder,
this is the greatest
how
example
they...
of genocide in the history of the world, and that's why we have to tell the people. And that's why
I wonder how they let that one slide by in 1983, January 30th, 1983, because they don't want people to come to a panic. And I think there's been a lot of misinformation. We've had some people discussing this. George Norrie has talked about it. Art Bell, I think, has been one man of note who has been discussing this for years, but he hasn't talked about it for a while.
And they ran him off the air, too.
How did they let that pass by in 83?
Well, they make mistakes. They make blunders. They just weren't watching. Back in 1983, they didn't realize, the power elite did not realize the implications. I think they were not really that much in touch with the NASA scientists. And then when they found out, you know, they should have realized that this planet is so big. And it's been, actually, here's another major piece of information that they let slip that is very valuable to us and to those who want to save lives. And that piece of information is that the federal government, NASA, the scientists there, were allowed to give to the New York Times, inadvertently allowed to give to the New York Times, the fact that they believe that this celestial body is a brown dwarf star. Now, they said it several times, and it was also stated by other sources, too, who are researchers today. So it's almost a foregone conclusion that this thing is a brown dwarf star. So now, how do we define a brown dwarf star? And this is what leads to the incriminating evidence. The brown dwarf star, by definition, is larger than Jupiter, probably a puny, and it varies in size quite a bit, but a very puny, one of the tiniest brown dwarf stars would be about 3 times the mass of Jupiter. Now, the mass of Jupiter is 318 Earth masses. So if a tiny, puny brown dwarf star, that brown dwarf star would then have a mass of 318 Earth masses times 3, which is pushing 1,000 Earth masses. And as you know, the larger the mass of a body, the greater the gravitational force of attraction between that body and any other body, such as the force of attraction between this brown dwarf Planet X and the planet Uranus back in 1781. Imagine how far away this thing must have been. We know it's traveling in. We know it entered our solar system around 2003 because we saw the celestial electrical discharges from the heliosphere back to the sun. We saw a peak in the electrical discharging of the heliosphere around 2003. And James McCaddy, incidentally, gives us more evidence because on his June 17th, 2004, radio broadcast on the Internet, James McCaddy said, quote, "There are leaks coming out all over the place from professional astronomers and military types down at the Project Wormwood in Australia, and they are saying that a mini solar system is entering our solar system. Now, a solar system is defined as a sun surrounded by celestial bodies. That's precisely what we have. A brown dwarf star is a baby sun, a sun that never got hot enough, never got large enough to be compact enough and dense enough to create the heat and the pressures necessary to generate nuclear fusion. But as a result, instead of burning brightly like our sun, because our sun is like 330,000 Earth masses, a third of a million Earth masses is the mass of our sun. And it burns brightly, but this little puny brown dwarf star, maybe say only 1,000 Earth masses, never got hot enough, so it smolders. It's dark, and it can only be seen with infrared telescopes. And that's why they, in this article, Clues Get Warm in the Search for Planet X, January 30th, 1983, New York Times, I'm holding it right in my hand, it reads, "Something out there beyond the farthest reaches of the known solar system seems to be tugging at Uranus and Neptune. Some gravitational force keeps perturbing the two giant planets, causing irregularities in their orbits, perturbations, that is. The force suggests a presence far away and unseen, a large object that may be the long-sought Planet X." And they go on to tell you that they're launching, they are now getting ready to launch the infrared astronomical satellite. And what you know, this article has a beautiful picture of the infrared astronomical satellite right on it. I can actually send you the article.
That would be great to see that. Most of us can't see this Planet X. Most of us don't have this kind of infrared technology to allow us to see it. But we are seeing the effects of it. We're seeing effects in Pakistan, seeing the effects in the Gulf, and apparently on ocean floors around the whole planet.
The bulging and the buckling and the methane. The methane is one of the gases that comes up from these mantle plumes that are being generated now by the increasingly hot and boiling molten iron core of the Earth. These mantle plumes contain not only very melted magma columns, but they also contain many gases such as methane, hydrogen sulfide, the very same gases that are emanating from the seabed of the Gulf of Mexico
That's what we're told.
And what is going to happen? The land masses, this geologist for the U.S. Geological Survey told my friend Mark, 3 to 4 years ago. So I will swear that he told me this, because when you hear something like that, you're so shocked you will never forget it. And that's something I never forgot 3 to 4 years ago when he said the U.S. Geological Survey expects land masses to arise out of the Gulf of Mexico. So they're not telling us. They don't care if the people die in a tsunami. When those land masses arise and methane bursts out of that ruptured seabed of the Gulf of Mexico,
they don't care about
the millions of people that will be killed. They just want to cover it up for their damn economic purposes.
Do you think it'll rise like all of a sudden and cause a tsunami, or do you think it may rise in a slow manner? Maybe we can put populations there, you know, and put up a few hotels and have more tourists show up on those land masses.
Oh, yeah, they would like that, to make as much money as they can before the tsunami occurs. That's their nature. It's hard to say how it's going to occur, but, you know, Steve Quayle had documented a methane burst that occurred back in 1998, I believe, on his website. And this methane arose out of the water, and again, it's the same kind of phenomenon from the seabed, and the concentration was so great that any spark on the surface of that water, it was in Asia somewhere, would cause an explosion. And indeed, that's what happened. It was a massive methane explosion. It's like turning on the gas in your house, closing all the windows, and let the gas jets run for an hour, and then lighting a match. That's what happened to this surface of the sea, and that's what could very well happen in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, they have thugs, BP thugs, and power elite thugs going around arresting people for trying to gather data and information and report on this thing, because again, they're desperate to the point of tyranny to try to stop people from reporting on what's going on there. They would rather see it covered up and continue on with the last stages of this before they go off the cliff with their economy, and then have people find out about it and have the people be prepared to evacuate.
Well,
that's what we have to do.
They have to some degree tried to keep this stuff under wraps, but, you know, some of this information has been able to come forward anyway. In fact, you know, we've heard about Art Bell on a number of occasions that sometimes he works for both sides. Sometimes he's been a mouthpiece for the people that are behind all of their, you know, this cabal. And then sometimes he speaks about things, you know, that are for...
The Founding Fathers knew it.
Good morning. We have about 4 minutes in this segment. This is the Morning Liberty Program. Thanks for tuning in. I'm RJ. My guest is John DiNardo. Again, John, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
I'm surprised about those people who have been releasing some of this information. And I think, depending upon who you are, we could take a look at Art Bell and wonder, okay, who is he really working for? Or somebody like Glenn Beck or George Norrie. But here's a few people really who have been releasing some of this information. I wonder if by design they're allowing just little leaks, you know, just little leaks of information so that people can really question, in fact, whether there is truth to the fact of Planet X, or if it's just another, you know, rabbit trail to follow. But I appreciate your research and your study and your documentation about these very things.
Well, it's hard to understand why, but there, I can only surmise that these men are basically not very evil. Like, Glenn Beck may be greedy, and Art Bell is greedy for position and power, like many of these people at the top in the broadcast industry, but they're not evil. And when they see great disasters occurring, they begin to try, they may begin to try to slip it out very carefully so that it's, they're not caught and suppressed and fired by their masters above them who own and operate these television and radio networks. So I think maybe Glenn Beck and Art Bell are trying to sneak a little information out. George Norrie is doing even more in bringing the information out, but they have to be careful because they can be killed or they can be fired.
I think they allow them to let a little information out, not too much. Certainly, the panic, I think, is their real concern.
Absolutely. And, you know, Planet X, the Kennedy assassination, is nothing to them, to these power elite. They don't care about you finding out about anything anymore. The only thing they don't want you to know about is Planet X. And that's because there's going to be global destruction. Now, I have the evidence for it, not only me, but many, many other researchers. For example, the Horizon Project, thehorizonproject.com, if you'll find out from their research and from the research of other ancient historians who were not even looking for Planet X, they found out the same thing that the Horizon Project found out, that the ancient civilization of Atlantis sunk beneath the waves, 1,000-foot, 100-foot waves, many hundreds of feet high from tsunamis and from the Earth changing in its shape due to the alteration in the rotation of the Earth and due to the shifting of the poles so that the planet actually changed vertically, shifted to a new vertical position. As a result of this, the bulge in the equator changed because we had a new equator. I had written a piece a while ago, and I have to put that on the internet. It's basically what it says. I'll have to summarize because it's a long essay. But it tells us that in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah chapter 24, verse 20, this is extremely prophetic and frightening verse. It says that God is saying to Isaiah, telling Isaiah, in his putting thought into Isaiah's mind to write this down, that I will cause the earth to reel to and fro like a drunkard and to be removed like a cottage. Well, what I did was research on those two words, removed and cottage, and I found out they were totally erroneous. The real words were nod like a hammock. God says the earth will nod like a hammock. That is a pole shift.
And you think that's seriously on its way?
It has to happen. There's no way to stop it. People can be saved.
We'll continue right after this, John. This is RBN. We'll be back.
With recent